First, I want to welcome the youth and government students who are observing by Zoom today. Next, I'll ask Mr. Thu to lead us in the pledge, please.
My allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, we need a motion to approve the minutes of February 13 and February 26.
So moved.
Second.
Brian?
Yes.
Hilda? Can we have a change to the February 13th? I did call in by Zoom.
Okay. Duly noted.
Thank you.
As modified, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carries. No grievances, I assume? Let's head to information technology. Rob?
Good morning. First thing on my list today is the purchase of a SAN, which is our storage system for the county. Our old one is end of life at the end of this year, so we need to replace it before it goes end of life. We budgeted, I believe, $500,000 for this, and we got it pared down to $324,000. That number is the actual cost of the hardware of $294,000. I also added $30,000 for professional services, which I do not have a quote for yet. That's in the works right now, but I do not believe it will exceed $30,000. That's for installation and configuration of the system.
So moved. Second.
Any questions or comments?
How old is the one that we're replacing?
6 or 7 years.
And do we expect this one to have that same life?
I expect it to be more because it's a newer model. The one that we had before was an HP Nimble, which had been on the market for quite some time before that. And this is what replaces that one. It's the same level of hardware.
Okay.
Hilda?
So Bob, how did you get it down from $500,000 to
this? Good budget.
So when I budget, I just get a general quote on, you know, the best of the best. And what we did here was, instead of going in two locations, which we have right now, we have one here and one out at the public safety building. Because we're going with a different backup system, which you guys approved 2 months ago, I believe, that backup system can actually almost function as a SAN. So if the SAN goes down, we can still run off of the backup system. So instead of having two SANs and all the additional hardware involved with that, we decided to go down to one.
Good.
We did beef it up a little bit as far as the size so that we, you know, so that it'll last us 5 to 10 years.
Okay, if nothing else, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carries.
Okay, the next item is in 2021, you approved us going to Ring Central for our phone system. And at that time, it was approved at $172,000 per year. I am asking for an increase on that because some phone systems are dynamic. We're adding public workshops to our phone system now because this phone system is internet based. So we can add them to our phone system and we can 4-digit dial them now. The cost increase was the invoice I have now is $195,206.01. Part of that cost, $12,000 of it, is something called Federal Universal Service Fund. And that's under taxes, fees, and surcharges. And that's $12,000, like I said. The other $10,000 from this increase comes from us adding 12 standard licenses, which is a regular phone for a regular user, 29 limited extensions, which would be conference rooms, faxes, things like that. 7 toll-free numbers have been added. They weren't really added. They were moved from Windstream to Ring Central. It was over a 50% savings for those. In the last year, they've made us sign up for SMS registration, which is texting. It's actually for mass texting. So say a department wants to text all their clients. That's what this is for. So we are okay if someone decides to do that. And then we had some CX licenses, which adds functionality. The problem they were having in DSS was the receptionist would get a call. They need an interpreter. So they call an interpreter. So now you got three people. Then they call the person in DSS who needs to deal with these people. But then they couldn't drop off the call. The receptionist could not leave the call. If they did, it shut everything down. So that's what these licenses were for. And all those together totaled about $10,000 additional dollars. So I'm asking for an increase to pay this invoice of $195,206.01. And Jack, is there a way we can dynamically do this in the future, or?
Yeah, this is a little bit different because part of it we would consider a utility for the service costs, where before we had the phones and then we had the service fees for using the phones. Essentially what used to be carrier charges are considered a utility where we don't RFP or bid them. It's just what it is. So I think Rob, what we probably should do we probably need to bring it back every year, but to do it in a not to exceed way.
Okay.
That way you have the flexibility should any of these operational changes happen that you can make that. And this is budgeted. And we would budget in the future if we anticipate any other increases. So I think for the future, maybe a not to exceed, because it takes a while for you to get this pricing, right, you know, before the contract lapse. So that's my opinion off the top of my head.
Okay.
Your motion?
Move it.
Second.
Anything for Rob?
Yeah.
So is this $195,000 extra? Is that what I heard you say?
No.
Hilda.
Hilda. Originally it was $172,000.
All right. So it's so just the incremental.
$23,000.
Okay. That's why I was confused.
Question. You last approved it at that 170 and change, at that exact amount, because the operational changes Rob mentioned, bring it back to you to authorize essentially spending for those changes.
Right.
Thank you. Rob, you mentioned some difficulty. Has that basically been ironed out? The system's working well now?
As far as DSS, yes.
I just mean as a general whole, because we were using a different service provider. I'm wondering if this has simplified things and made it easier.
It has made it much easier. Before we had Cisco, which was an on-prem system. And if anybody here knows what Cisco is, it's a very proprietary company. And the knowledge base that we had wasn't quite what we needed. And people who are Cisco certified are expensive. And
yeah, to essentially, we sent a few to Cisco training. It's quite expensive to keep them up on that. And then if you don't have people Cisco trained, it's even more expensive to contract for vendors who are. So that was some of the discussion, Mr. Thu, before because this predated you, but that was a lot of the discussion, is this eliminates a lot of that proprietary requirement and cost.
And it eliminates all on-prem hardware except for the actual phones. It also gives us a lot of other options as far as soft phones. You can have a phone. I have my desk phone on my cell phone as well.
Yeah.
And I can also have it on my computer, on my laptop.
It's much more functional. The voicemail now, instead of going through all the steps, sending an email, a text, it's user-friendly.
Are we saving any money on the other end, or are we...
Other end.
I haven't netted that out. Save it. If you added our Cisco cost and our carrier charges to RingCentral, I think we're saving.
So when I brought this to you in 2021, there was a savings of, I believe it was around $20,000 a year. Like I said, right now we're expanding. So it's be hard to compare where we're at now to where we were.
But the cost of Cisco and others are going up as well. So
yes.
my opinion is, you know, without getting quotes, you know, to see what, you know, the other services we were on now, I'd say that savings is still pretty valid.
Okay. Thank you.
And this is our third year of a 5-year contract. So we have two more years after this before we look at it again.
You mentioned the $12,000 federal communications fund. Why are we paying any taxes as a municipality?
I think that's why they don't call it a tax. It's a federal universal service fund.
User fee, yeah. User fees.
But you'd have said that taxes and fees. I just wondered, are there taxes?
It's listed under taxes, fees, and surcharges.
Okay.
Along with 911 service fee.
Okay. I guess for the students online, when municipalities purchase anything, we don't pay sales tax because we're a government entity.
Anything else for Rob? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carries.
Thank you.
Thank you, Rob. Next up, is it Jennifer or Craig?
Craig.
Just looking for approval to enter a 1-year agreement with Westlaw. That's our legal research company. Usually we do it for 3 years. It's going to be 1 year this year because the program we're using is outdated, and this is the last year they're going to support it. So for this next year, it's going to be $2,236.10 spread out between our office, DSS, the DA's office, and the public defender's office. After this year, it's probably going to get a little bit more expensive.
That's a per month charge?
Per month, yes.
Oh.
That's per month.
I'll move it.
I'll second. What is the what's the plan for next year?
Because our plan for next year is to kind of test out some of the new systems that they have.
Lexus or something like that?
Well, we've nobody likes Lexus.
use Westlaw as well. So
yeah, so we've gotten bids for Lexus in the past, and they've always come in cheaper, but we've always stuck with Westlaw because it's such a better product, and everybody agrees that it takes so much more time to use Lexus.
And it's not a bid, it's a professional service, so we're not stuck by bid law.
And right now we're piggybacking off of the state bid. So the state is using Westlaw as well, but their new programs they try to push them on me for the last 3 years. But everybody's in agreement right now that we're okay with what we have and we're getting by. But next year, it's not going to be an option anymore. So we'll have to test out what they have, see which one we like best, and come back to you then.
So it'd be a different Westlaw program that's available?
Yes. There's some of it's like augmented reality and AI and all this stuff now. I don't know if we need to go that high end, but those are some of the options that are out there.
We have the basic right now, and the next one up, I think, is Westlaw Next, which is a little bit more complex, which would be the baseline going forward. So we're probably looking more at that instead of going into the AI realm.
Yeah, I wouldn't anticipate with some of the attorneys that we have, and myself included, I'm not going to want to get into anything too technical. So,
anything else for Craig? We have not. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Carries.
Yeah. Augmented reality. We're living.
Next up, Mitch Elger.
Morning.
Morning.
We worked with Andy in purchasing on an RFP for online auctioneering services. We had 7 total responses to that RFP. And proposals were rated on several different categories. And this is as a reminder, this is a no cost contract to the county. So at auction, as many of you know, high bidders pay the buyer's premium, which is a percentage, and that's what's being proposed here. Perung Auctioneers proposed 4%, which is who we've used for several years. And their proposal was also rated the highest. And that's who we're recommending awarding to. The lowest buyer's premium that was proposed was from Bid for Assets at 1.5%. We actually rated them the third highest. They didn't have any municipal experience documented in their proposal. So especially in New York State. We thought Perung Auctioneers was the best pick, and that's what we recommend awarding to.
So moved.
Second.
What was the second highest rating?
Second was Auctions International. And they actually do have the business of a lot of the surrounding counties. But they were at 6%, so a little bit higher.
All right.
So we've been happy with Perung, right?
Yeah, yeah. Yep. We've had a good relationship and rapport with them. Yeah.
Very happy. Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carries. Thanks.
That's all I had. Thanks.
Personnel, Nate.
Good morning, everyone.
Morning.
A couple requests for you today. The first is a request to appoint Joe Pelch as senior assistant district attorney at management grade K, step 10 at 108449. And this is due to a former senior assistant leaving. As probably most of you know, Joe's got extensive experience and the salary is certainly warranted.
I'll move it.
Second.
Questions for Nate? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Carries.
And we do have a late ad along with that, and this is also in the DA's office, and we're asking to appoint an investigator in the office of the district attorney part-time at grade F, step 12, 35504, and that's in line with what we've appointed the others at.
Promotion?
Not a new one. This was one that was already discussed.
In I'll terms move it.
Of. Second.
Any questions?
Go ahead and vote on that. I do have a question.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Do we have an office manager in the DA's office now?
Not currently.
Because that office manager is now an investigator?
That's
this.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yep. Not currently. The list is pretty short.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of who's on the list for office manager, because it is a union title, tested title.
He had said, and because the list was shorter, almost non-existent, I can't recall which offhand, but he had discussed having a couple possibilities to put in, you know, to come in provisional. But as you know, to bring people in provisionally, sometimes that's a difficult sell. So I think he is working on that, but I haven't heard anything.
You know, plus, so. We had only funded it for it to be a half-time position. So that's going to be tough.
It is tough. Too.
Right.
Yeah. Even with the list, most of the people that take the test are looking for full-time. Sure. So it's yeah. Hard even with the list.
Yeah. Thank you.
Anything else, Nate?
Yeah, one more. We am going to ask to award an RFP somewhere here. Award a quote for drug and alcohol testing. As you know, we test our drug and alcohol test our employees as new hires, as well as reasonable suspicion, post accident, so on and so forth. We put out a request for quote, and we're asking to award to DSI Medical Services at Guthrie A four panel test at $45, a five panel test at $45, a breath alcohol test at $45, and an on-site breath alcohol test at $45.
Those rates are pretty reasonable.
It's extremely reasonable.
Second.
Questions?
Did we get any other quotes?
We did. They ranged from 45 was the lowest, 65, 55, and 85.
Ooh. Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carries. Thanks, Nick.
And I think that's all I had. Thank you.
Next up, Jack.
Yes, thank you. Number of items for you. We will be pulling number three again. We keep asking for the updated quotes and we're still waiting, but we still utilize the service. We just want to pay them. Apparently they're not too anxious to get paid. So we'll bring it back to you when we have them. The first one of Mr. Van Etten's favorites. And if you approve number five, we won't have to do number one again in the future because this is budgeted, but looking to get authorization to issue an RFP for security services. If you recall back, I think it was January, December-ish, Securitas, who we currently utilize, notified us that they are not participating in the state bid any longer and that the rates were increasing about 20%. We obviously couldn't separate from them because they provide the overnight and supplemental coverage in the county office complex. But we, due to that increase and the fact that we haven't issued this RFP in a number of years, we'd like to issue that and bring it back to you for consideration once we get responses.
So moved.
Second.
Questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carries.
Thank you. Mr. Brewer has number two and four for you.
Good morning. About 2 weeks ago, the RFP for the salary grid study for the CSE main unit management came back. There were three proposals. First one being Gallagher, they're a large company. We use them for some services throughout.
They're our health insurance advisor and broker.
Yep. Their proposal came in at $120,730 with an 8-month time frame.
Wow.
The second one is JERHR Group. They came in at $118,500 with a 26-week time frame. And then lastly is Catapult out of Buffalo. And they came in at $38,500 with a 12 to 16 week time frame. And for clarity, Catapult is the entity that purchased the Burt Group.
Okay.
So this is essentially the same people that we used for the previous two. So we're satisfied with the results. We would ask to award to Catapult for $38,500 for both studies.
What was the time?
12 to 16 weeks.
Which lines up perfectly for what we're talking about for negotiations and budget.
End of August completion. Yep.
So moved.
Your second?
Second.
Questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carries.
So moving right into the next one is requesting a budget transfer of up to 40 for that award from undistributed fringe to consultants and professionals in the county manager's budget.
I'll move it.
Second.
Questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Curious.
Chris, when could they start?
The start date would be in April.
Good.
Okay. And Ms. Scotchmer can chime in, or Ms. Prosek, or pretty much everyone in the back who helped out with these admin code revisions. We like to bring that, unless it's something pressing like a change in state law or policy that we need to incorporate into our administrative code, we'd like to bucket these. It might not be the easiest thing for you folks because it's a lot of red line, but I think Brenda did a tremendous job summarizing. I'll briefly go through it and we can certainly answer any questions. A number of the changes were to reflect the changes in your rules of procedure. As you know, you removed Rule 16B or modified it. So this essentially updates the code to reflect the rules of procedure. Also with the use of NovaTime, we wanted to put the timekeeping software in there. Payroll, again, mostly related to timekeeping systems. Some of the budget transfers and auditing process, just to clear up, we worked to let you know, we met with and consulted a lot of your central service functions. So Brenda, Jen, myself, personnel, auditor, Tammy, Mitch, Andy, to review all these things. And it's been almost a year long process to do it. We've held some of these changes. Purchasing, some of the bigger changes, a lot of it is to make it clear to make it clear what the thresholds are. And there is a matrix that Brenda and Chris developed, which is really helpful, just to make it a little bit easier, sort of like Tammy and Mitch did for the budget transfers. That's included in your packet. The other thing is the change, and we talked about it during your budget process, for minor equipment from $3,500 to $5,000. It just makes it easier to track from a capitalization standpoint. So we have that. Contracts. The other thing, contracts and bidding, as I mentioned earlier, if something is budgeted, it doesn't require the department head to come and request an RFP. So it'll save essentially a month. If it's something new that is unbudgeted, that a department is proposing or that you folks come up with, we would have to bring it to request an RFP, but we'd do that at the same time we were presenting whatever it would be in the future, like say a study of some sort. If it's not budgeted, we'd have to request RFP. But if it's budgeted for, like security services in the future, if you approve this at the end of the month at the, well, here and then at the full board meeting, then I, you know, if I presented security services next month, I wouldn't have needed to present it because it is budgeted, just to make it a little bit easier.
So how are we going to know when these things come up if we don't?
The award would have to come back to you.
Okay.
It's just
the request. Permission to go out and get a quote.
Correct.
I mean, we don't need to.
Right.
We haven't changed the fact that you have to still award it. It's just the, they don't need to come and ask permission to bid it.
Bid it.
Okay. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yes. One of the things, and I know Mr. Van Etten, Ms. Fitzpatrick, have to deal with it a lot, is travel. Mm-hmm. Most of the travel, requests are in the hundreds of dollars. So these changes propose that it's the department head and myself that sign it for the auditor. Not, it's always the chair of the legislature has always had to sign it. Certainly if I would let the chair know or the legislature know if there was some, very rarely do we get, you know, someone's going to Vegas for a week or two, something like that. You know, if it's something like that, I'd give someone a heads up. But most of it is just out of county travel to Albany, to conferences. So that way we can get them processed, quickly. And it doesn't require the chair to sign. A lot of it is cleaning up things like office space allocation. In the past, like any office space allocation would technically would have to be approved by AIP, but it wasn't well defined. So if someone moved an office, it was always a gray area of, does that require AIP? But, you know, it certainly, if there was new office space being constructed that required a capital project, it'd have to come before you in multiple ways anyhow. So we figured, you know, you're still in control of all the major renovations and things like that. But in terms of moving offices and, you know, it'd just be nice for the staff to have that flexibility. Again, if it requires any funding or anything like that, you'd be involved anyhow. Updated the legislator email because that was kind of an old thing, and then updated the forms. The only thing I would say is Rob and Cody are working on a new computer policy because so many things have changed, but this was enough changes for now, I think, and that's an important enough topic for later in the year to bring to you. But this gets us kind of up to date with things that we think that you folks have discussed over the past number of months, pretty much year, that we've discussed internally, and to, I think, be a little more efficient.
What about the vacancy requirements? There was three or four that was discontinued.
Yeah. So, and this reflects those changes that you made in your rules of procedure. So they mirror each other now. Okay. With these changes.
So that covers the grade levels as well.
Yep.
It would be page 4 of the PDF, page 2 of the document itself. Process for requesting amendments. It mentions that a change will be presented to the administrative committee, and if necessary, submit a resolution to the full legislature for approval. I think if we're changing the administrative code, it should go before the full legislature, because the administrative committee shouldn't be its own governing body.
And so, and maybe we need more clarity. All the times I can remember we do, except for there are changes that the comptroller likes, like for purchasing cards, we identify specific individuals by name. But if like a department head retires and a new person comes in, I think those were the changes that we were thinking about, kind of, you know, administrative clerical changes to reflect, you know, those really minute details that don't impact overall policy.
So I guess it's the if necessary is what needs.
Yeah.
Well, in all of my times, even those changes, we've taken any, we kind of bucket them together with the rest of the edits. Like we group them together and then it all goes to the board. So every change to the admin code I can recall has gone to the board anyhow. But I think we wanted a little flexibility of not having the admin code a year out of date because we had staff leave and they're identified in, you know, 3 different sections for purchasing, finance, those sort of things.
I think it's worth just, if we have to vote something on the full legislature, or if we're all aware of it, just doing that. That's my opinion anyhow. I think we can remove if necessary. Or maybe you put in a paragraph that clarifies when it isn't necessary.
From my end, no objection removing if necessary. I mean, we could still bucket it.
Yeah.
I mean, it hasn't stopped operations in any way, so no recommendation against it or anything like that.
Anything else?
The page 46 of the PDF, so I guess it'd be 44 of the document, the procurement card policy, the last sentence is duplicative. It basically have the same sentence twice in a row.
Oh, okay.
So we should remove one of them.
We will edit that.
And then you already addressed the traveling stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Already addressed office space. 172 of the PDF, which is the basically awards for years of service recognition. On F, you've got a custom designed unique recognition upon retirement after a minimum of 20 years of service. It says if retiring with less than 20 years of service, I think that might be less than 30 years of service. I'm not sure. Retiree will receive a 30-year service recognition item denoted in C6. I'm confused on what that's trying to say, because we have a list of, you know, if it's 10 years, if it's 15 years, if it's 20 years, if it's 25 years.
So if you retire with 20 years of service, you get a clock that's engraved.
That's on top of the pin. Is that
the pin only comes if you're recognized for 20 years of service? Years of service recognition. We do those. Those are the monthly meeting ones. If somebody's retiring, it's just very clear. If you retire with 20 or more years of service, you get a clock. If you retire with less than 20 years of service, then you get, right now, it's a very nice keychain with Steuben County seal and
all. So maybe I'm just missing, because it references C6, which is the keychain, but you're talking about the clock. So maybe the reference is wrong.
Well, because I don't want to specify what they're receiving, because it might change.
It might change.
So it's whatever we can afford. We generally spend about $50 on a retirement.
So this is just saying we're giving them something extra above okay. Yes. I just need clarity on that, because it was confusing me, because it seemed to.
If you have suggestions on how to clarify, let me know, because I know what I'm talking about. But other people might not know.
Maybe just say in addition to the tokens listed out with 1 through 5 or something like that.
So those are separate.
Yep.
So there's a retirement. That's the either or 20 yep. or more under 20. The service recognitions
as separate, it's not retirement.
Based. When a department head tells me somebody has 15 years of service, then they get a certificate.
Got it. Okay. All right. And then the last one is on 174 of the document, which is the flag lowering. And this might be a gentle answer. Is there some federal, state or federal legislation that's saying we can no longer lower flags as a...
Go ahead. So years past, the chair used to sign those.
Yep.
But it was brought to our attention by the Veterans Service Agency director that is against federal law, mm-hmm. which is why now it can only be done by the governor or the president.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So that's crazy. Because if we have like a local tragedy or something, you'd think we would want to have the ability to lower the
flag. We can lower our flags.
The county flags,
but we can't lower the American flag or the New York state flag without the governor or the president.
Okay.
But we can always reach out to our state reps and ask them to encourage the governor to do that.
Sure. Okay. All right. What I had.
And I apologize to the interns. I should have mentioned the administrative code is the essentially consolidation of key county policies that are required either for our operations or under state and federal law. So it's a couple hundred page document that is very important. We use it daily. Staff and departments use it daily because it, you know, specifies what how we operate. And what authorities we each have as staff members. So while it's a lot of work and might be a lot of detail for you hearing it, it's probably one of our most important documents other than the charter that we have.
We'll send you a copy and expect a summary report by tomorrow. Brenda, I have a question on page two, the three bullets around legislator emails. So you basically wiped out two of them and added that all emails are foilable?
They've always been foilable.
But
it was not reflected. It was just a reminder in the code that your emails are foilable.
So if you're doing we don't business, longer recognize personal emails. Is that what eliminating?
No, if you're using your personal email account for business, that's foilable. If you think back to Hillary Clinton? Yeah.
Well, she was exempt from the laws. So.
So if there is a request and we can't find what they're looking for, we can request it off your personal.
Okay.
Correct, Jen?
If you haven't already deleted it.
Doesn't matter. We can get it.
We can actually get a subpoena if it's course. Yeah. If it's course the court and subpoena your deleted emails. So please just use your county emails for business.
Anything else? So we need a motion to approve the revisions to the administrative code.
So
I guess to clarify, we're going to remove that duplicative sentence on the procurement card policy. And then
as needed.
And then the if necessary language, if were we removing right. that or. Okay.
The revisions as
modified. As modified. Okay.
Are you?
Then I'll second.
Anything else? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carries. We have one item for executive session.
Yes.
Pending litigation.
Need a motion to go.
Can I have a question first? I didn't ask when Mitch was up, but is there an update on, or is there any new information related to the tax foreclosure process?
Yeah. So there's a proposed bill. We're just waiting to see what lands in the budget bill. That's where we anticipate it. We've been through it with a fine tooth comb, finance and law. And it's not too far off from what we did last year in anticipation of the people that filed quickly. We set up the escrow. Mm-hmm. It's almost the same. We're just waiting. We have a batch that have asked for their money back. But because we're now less than a month away from what the final state rules hopefully will be, I have sent them letters saying, can you just wait a month so we get this right on with the law and we know what to charge you for our fees and all the things we can charge back. One entity is kind of pushing back on it, but you know, we should know early April. That's pending a state budget passing, but that's where it's going to be.
And the bill language NYSAC helped draft, and it's not perfect. We've spoken with NYSAC a lot, but it's probably the best that we're going to be able to get in terms of protecting the municipal interests and balancing the personal interest. Now, the one big impact that we talked about where there will be is land banks.
Yeah.
It will make land banks, the acquisition of properties for land banks, challenging. Yeah. And I think, you know, it's going to have the unintended consequences of more cancellation of taxes coming to you because we won't want to foreclose on something that we're underwater 20 grand on.
Yeah. It's crazy. They didn't take to account land banks. They just spent the last 8 years giving money to these land banks and new legislation to create these land banks for these particular properties. And then the state legislation forgot about the land banks.
Essentially, the land bank's going to have to come and bid at auction. I mean, that looks like the easiest way for it to work.
Still hopeful that maybe there will be some exception in there, but we'll see in April.
Well, that was my question on the land banks. If you proceed as we have, tear it down, rebuild, whatever, why would we do it now?
You're not going to.
There's actually a disincentive because instead of, you know, the county eating the county's portion, you know, getting the municipal portion back to make us whole on that, you're now going to, you know, be looking at owing or spending 20 grand on a property you're going to demolish and spend another 20 grand to demolish. That's where one of the unintended consequences, and that has been communicated by NYSAC and others to state legislators, but they haven't found a good way to make it work.
I mean, at this point, I think land bank should be put on hold and not do anything more until we can figure out what we can do.
Yeah, there's,
as far as acquiring new properties, I would say yes, but we still have an inventory of properties currently that we're working on.
Yes, and and there are other mechanisms through bank foreclosures and
donations.
That's another way that it can be done, where a municipality condemns a property, donates it to the municipality, and the land bank can work on that. It would still would require probably cancellation of taxes, but you know, if the owner's involved, and that would be more demos. I think rehabs are going to be, you know, that's where the cost benefit are going to be, because, you know, some of the rehabs are, is the land bank going to spend $60,000 to buy it at auction and then put another 100 into it?
To sell it for 110.
Right.
Yeah.
A different way to look at it though is, right now, if my understanding is correct, don't we usually sell it to the land bank for what we have into it for back taxes?
Yes.
So that would be their minimum bid. So say the land bank went in and put in a bid of 11,000. Well, then somebody else buys it for 14. I mean, at least we got our money back.
Yeah, but
the land bank would allow it not to sell for 300 bucks. They would have a minimum bid, or I mean, it's not a minimum bid, but they'd have a bid up to.
Correct. Where it gets dicey is, so the owner of that property comes in and says, someone bought it for 11,000. It was worth 40.
Yeah. Right.
And then the question is, they lost the equity. Do we have to make them whole for the equity?
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the big problem. Yeah,
so it's.
No. That's not what I meant, Jay. On the open auction, when Perung has an auction, if the land bank bids 11,000, they might lose it.
They might lose
it. But what I mean though is they would be, that would be their bid. So they might bid on 10 houses. They might not get any of it.
Correct.
Least then they would bid what the county has. And then if it sells for 40 and the other person gets their difference, because it sold to a different person for 40.
Yeah, we could still do that. It's the ones where, okay, the land bank, no one wants to bid because it's a teardown. And so the land bank bids 500 bucks and gets it for 500 bucks. What if the owner comes back and says, well, it's worth $10,000. Who makes up that equity?
He should have paid the taxes on the damn thing and sold it for 10.
Yeah, it's going to be a whole new brain process for us in analyzing the list, because now we have to take into account what's owed, what the fair market value is, and maybe putting reserves closer to the fair market value so that we're not making up the difference constantly.
Yeah, but it's a good point, Jeff, because there could be some wins on that. But the proposed legislation gives essentially TAMI the ability to estimate the fair market value. So for we still might be able to get some of the real bad properties because the fair market value should be extraordinarily low, probably less than what's owed in taxes.
And what's happening is the ones that have come back that we've asked them to wait, I mean, it's an absolute dump. Nobody's going to buy this place. You'd have to give Hilda $20,000 to take it. They're saying on their paperwork, it was worth $300,000. And you're like,
they have to prove that, don't they?
Well, because it would be their old assessed value, which maybe the property hasn't been assessed in a while.
Most.
And it's not been taken care of and the garbage hasn't gone to the dump in 10 years. And, you know, just so they've got a piece of paper that says it's assessed at 300.
If
you wouldn't take it for 20.
If you,
so it's going to be some litigation in that interim in between area.
If you look at most of the demos that we've done, the assessed value is far higher than the taxes owed or the value of the property.
Yeah.
So what's the time limit that they can come back? 2 years?
No, well, it's going to be federal taking. So it's a Article 5 taking clause under the federal constitution, which is 6 years.
6 years.
So we're going to have to set up escrow accounts per year and keep it in there and then roll it out.
Going forward, but we don't have
we did last summer.
But yeah.
We started.
Right. Yeah.
6 years. Thank you.
Thanks.
Anything else before we go into executive session? Need a motion to go into executive. I don't think we had that yet, did we?
Some
I don't think so. There's a second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.